It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside colleagues Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer on an exciting Tuesday afternoon for the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. A couple hours ago, as I think expected, some of the signs were pointing towards this announcement, but we didn't know exactly when it would be coming. So today, September 13th, UNLV unveiled a $10 million gift from the Fertitta family towards a new football facility that will be known as the Fertitta Family Football Complex. This is huge. We saw the renderings at the meeting that they had. Tina Kunzer-Murphy and Len Jessup sharing their comments. Obviously, Tony Sanchez, the most important guy in the room. He's the reason that this is happening, at least the reason that this specific facility is happening. And so for the background on that, Ray, can you give us the details as you know them, history of the Fertittas and Tony Sanchez?
Yes, so Tony Sanchez came to Las Vegas in 2008 early 2009 to be the football coach at Bishop Gorman High. Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta are graduates of the school. They own the UFC, obviously, or they own the UFC, actually. And they handpicked Tony to be their football coach. They had multiple children who were going to be in the program. They wanted their kids to have a good high school experience. And, Tony comes in, first year, goes undefeated, wins the state championship. And in between year one and two, he and Lorenzo get together, and he's like, and they're trying to think of ways to take it to the next level. And one was to play out-of-state opponents, and Tony had the idea for a football complex on campus. And talked to Lorenzo, and, Lorenzo loves his football. And obviously loves Gorman, and they started drawing out things, and one thing led to another, and they have that beautiful complex now on campus. So fast forward, Gorman wins a national championship, Sanchez gets the job at UNLV, and during his introductory presser, before he thanks his wife, he thanks the Fertittas.
Yes.
And here we are now, 16, 17 months on the job, and the Fertitta family, who just sold the UFC for $4.2 billion, are gifting $10 million to UNLV. And as I was telling Kiefer offline, I think it's twofold. One is the Fertittas really like Tony. He's like another brother. For example, they flew on the same private jet to Texas earlier in the year for the Gorman High School football game. Lorenzo just called them out of the blue. Hey, man, you want to go to the game? Blah, blah, blah. It'd be like I call you, hey, you want to come over for some steaks or whatever. But I don't have a plane or billions to give you. But nonetheless... But secondly, the Fertitta name is all over that campus. The tennis complex was named after,
their parents, right?
Their parents. Yep. And, UNLV football has just been such an eyesore over the years that they really haven't been involved, but now Tony's got his vision. And of course, you get that complex and it just takes everything to a whole nother level.
It's a 73,000 square foot, two level complex. It'll be built right inside of Rebel Arc. There's just kind of the open area at one end just to the right when you walk inside, and then they have the two full practice fields. So it'll be on that north end overlooking the practice fields. Construction expected to start in February or March, and completed within 10 months. That's kind of the calendar right now, which is fairly much in line with the baseball complex that's right behind there. So I think it's at least realistic. It's a $24 to $26 million project. They say overall $10 million, obviously from the Fertitta family. I apologize, Fertitta Football Complex. Take family out of there. That's the official name, anyway. They say that they've raised over $16 million so far. $10 million from the Fertittas, $2 million that kind of got things at least publicly started rolling back in May from an anonymous donor, at least anonymous to the public. UNLV knows who it is, but this is the expected move. You mentioned the introductory press conference. That was actually the same one where athletic director Tina Kunzer-Murphy was applauded for telling the media to stop saying that the Fertittas were going to build UNLV a football complex. why she would want anyone to stop saying what everyone knew would happen. It was kind of just a matter of time, but that's neither here nor there at this point. Because, like I said, it was a question of when, not if. Sanchez coming in, and I think we all said it at the time, Case, you know, I think you were right there with us. This hire made so much sense, in part for what it was going to do for facilities and infrastructure as much as what he was going to be able to do on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. That's funny because I know, like you said, it doesn't really matter now. But when this first got announced in the newsroom, Brewer told me, I was like, well, why now? We've been talking about it for 16 months. I guess now is when it finally happens. But, yeah, I mean, you're just seeing some of the things. I think despite the record being a little bit down overall, I mean, week after week we see things on the field that supports that UNLV is going in the right direction, that in that direction and in that area, excuse me. And then you see something like this, and clearly the other things going on in the program are in a good spot as well. And that was the appeal in Tony Sanchez that I think some people from the outside didn't understand, was that you can kind of get both worlds, because he is a great football coach and he also has these connections that can lead to things like this.
Yeah, and I think no matter what happens with the program in the next few years, say they take off and Sanchez becomes a hot commodity and goes to a Power 5 school, or they're just average or even worse what they've been through, you know, maybe forever.
Yeah, the building's not going anywhere.
Yeah, the building, once it's up, and it's UNLV's, and you know, the Sanchez hire and everything's a success. Now, darn, they're definitely better than they were this time last year and this time 3 years ago and this time 10 years ago and whatever it may be. So I think, you know, this is just one step in the progression of, you know, what's some special – a special vision that Tony has for the program.
Yeah, going back to, you know, why we all felt and why I think, you know, vast majority of the community felt that Sanchez was a good hire for UNLV. This was one of his quotes today. You have to have vision and you can't expect people to go out and do it for you. I think that's always been a problem here with this job, is people come in and think, I'm going to coach football. It's a lot more than that. You're going to coach football. You're going to fundraise. You're going to engage the community. You've got to recruit at a high level, and you can't make excuses because nobody wants to hear them. Who famously made excuses about facilities on their way out?
Mike Sanford.
You were very excited to answer that.
Yeah, no, I just knew going in that, you know, I remember the story Tony told me, and I can't remember if it was offline or if it was during a real conversation, but
you've mentioned it a few times.
Yeah, but he walked into the football office on his first day, and there was like, it looked like somebody died on the carpet. Like, he literally felt like, oh my God, I don't know if my kids could walk on this carpet. And the walls were all scuffed, and the decor was from basically when the lead opened in the 90s. And right away, they started, you know, tearing it down and putting up signs and, you know, murals on walls about some of their proud moments. And, you know, now they got the cannon in there, obviously, because they won it last year. And
which you declared sexy right before we started the show.
Sexy and red.
The cannon?
Oh, look at this thing. Did you see this?
I mean, I know what
it
looks like.
Doesn't that put a smile? You're smiling. That's pretty, bro. I mean, for what they did last year to win this game, with who they had at quarterback in the second half.
And painting Gatta on it at the ceremony on campus.
Yeah, I just think that Tony's vision, you know, the only thing that he hasn't done that I thought he'd be able to do is he hasn't got one of those, like, four-star sexy recruits locally. He's got a few kids who've had better offers from out of the area, but I thought he'd be able to convince one kid, whether it be somebody from Gorman or somebody elsewhere, to be that one guy to stay home. And I don't know, does this go far?
I mean, that's interesting that you bring that up, Ray, going back to Case's point of why now. What have you been saying for years about the class of 2017 locally?
I mean, it's the best we've ever seen. 20-plus major Division I guys.
Not a bad idea to put this out, you know, a few months before signing day to make sure people know that this is not something that we're just talking about or is just a pipe dream these days. This is legit, because Tony Sanchez today mentioned that some of the big guys locally have asked, is this going to happen? You know, is this real? Can you promise this? And Sanchez has always said, you know, I'm not going to tell them anything that we're maybe going to do. Don't want to promise them things that we're not going to deliver. It's official now. This is happening, groundbreaking in February or March, expected to be completed in 10 months, just in time to, you know, try and convince some of those kids. So as far as timing goes, you know, I think that could definitely be part of it.
Yeah, and obviously the second leg of this is you know, if an NFL stadium is built here, they get to share it. And now you'd be talking about a new game day home that is got all the bells and whistles and this new on-campus thing, and you're on par with a lot of major schools. I don't know if Sam Boyd Stadium is the worst venue. You know, now that I've been to a few of them, like the Northern Illinois one, I mean, you got to be thanking me over and over that you didn't have to go in that press box. Because he's 6 foot nine. What are you, 6'9"?
6'8".
6'8"? I had a hard time squeezing through the door. And, I mean, literally, it was like a shoebox.
Well, I don't think we should judge these by press boxes. It's at least on campus, isn't it?
It is on
campus. I rank it ahead of Sam Boyd then.
No, you're right. The whole thing, there's nothing more sad than when you go to leave Sam Boyd Stadium after a game night and you see the city bus sitting there waiting to take people back to campus, and there's not one person in line to take the city bus. And you know that students aren't going to the game, and a new stadium would obviously entice them to get there. But in terms of the actual layout of Sam Boyd, there's 30-plus thousand seats. You could see the field from all over. New turf. The locker rooms, yeah, they're awful. But you're only in there while you're getting dressed. I mean, considering where UNLV was and where they are now with that facility, they were able to get that done, paid for not by football, but by Thomas and Mack to keep rugby, basically.
And, I mean, to me, what matters as far as convincing kids, it's the facility, because that's where they spend the vast majority of their time. The stadium, first of all, I don't think Sam Boyd is that bad. I'm with you. Stop complaining about the dirt lots. I don't care. And if they were better, people would go more. Like, that's just the facts. It's not a great setup, but it is not something that can't be overcome. And I think one of the ways that you overcome it is making your on-campus even better, giving basically recruits something like Mendenhall Center to build to. And that's not the only reason that UNLV basketball had been recruiting at the level that they were, but that's part of it. You know, a great place where USA basketball spends their summers, yeah, that doesn't hurt. And so now if NFL players come through town, because guess what? That happens regularly. Oh, well, you know, maybe they'll just be casually working out in the 9,000-square-foot weight room now.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that, you know, the Fertittas have so many connections that, you know, a DeMarco Murray, who is indebted to that family for the rest of his life, will stop by whenever Tony wants. And, you know, the branch that just branches out. And Case and I talked about this yesterday briefly. I loved, absolutely loved and want to get three of them. That shirt that Sanchez wore on Saturday.
Oh, the Las
Where
Vegas.
Did you buy that?
I had to call Brewer off and tell him we'd talk about it today.
I wanted something.
But I noticed it too. I liked it a lot too on the thing, and I knew it had to have been from the Tony Sanchez collection. It looks like the type of thing.
So some of the there. Look, we've talked if I could speak ad nauseum about him implementing Vegas into everything. That's very clear in the facility too. It's all over the place in the players' lounge where they've got a couple of pool tables. And, you know, unless they change it, but the rendering had a couple posters of the Rat Pack in front of wallpaper of Elvis. There's, you know, a big Welcome to Las Vegas sign in red and black.
And this is all Tony's design. That's the thing people don't realize.
I think people realize that.
Okay. I mean, it's not like he's telling some architect, hey, make sure it's pro-Vegas. He's like saying, hey, it's got to have this and that and that. And he's looking at the storyboards every step of the way. Sorry to cut you off. How do I get that shirt? Do they sell them somewhere?
I will find out for you, sir.
If not, tell them I wear a double X. I will sleep in it. I will run in it. I will come to work in it. I don't care. I will wear it in the press box when they play Reno.
All right, obviously
no, you won't.
A huge day. He might. I don't know. He might.
What do you think Reno thinks of this news today, by the way?
I think they're fine with it. I mean, I think they, like most people here, were expecting it. It was just kind of a question of when. And, you know, I'm sure there's probably outside the market, there was more skepticism than I'm giving it credit for, just in the fact that, you know, unproven high school coach moving up, 3 wins last year. Yes, it was better, but it's still 3 wins. And then this year, you've got to prove it. Tony kind of talked about some of that, wanting to show the progress and show that they could recruit without this, you know, being kind of shovels in the ground and being a certainty, even though, you know, I think it was all but a certainty. So they proved a little bit, you know, the top recruiting class in basically program history before this. Now a chance to go out and get some of the local 2017 kids with it. You know, they're taking all of the steps that, you know, from an outside perspective, you would say, yeah, that's how you build this place. And now it's about, you know, actually following through on the field, which is a nice transition to this weekend as 13-point underdogs heading to Central Michigan, because that could put a damper on all of this positivity real quick.
That's true. Also, not to change the subject, but I was just clicking through a few of the worst stadiums in America lists. Sam Boyd was not on it, and neither was NIU, but Kelly Short Stadium in Central Michigan made two different surveys.
Oh, great.
So you can report back next week of how good it is up there in Mount Pleasant. But yeah, I think, I mean, this is a game people are going to look at the two school names. I think the segment of UNLV fans that just kind of want to complain no matter what happens, I think are just going to look at the school name and be like, "You Central Michigan, we should be able to compete with them." And if you don't go out and have a good result or at least keep it close, it's going to be right back to that negativity to flush out kind of the happiness we're talking about today from getting this facility announced.
Yeah, so last year they opened the season at Northern Illinois as 21-point underdogs. Now it's 13-point going to another MAC school. I think Central Michigan not as good as Northern Illinois was last year. Some of it tough to tell because they were very much like deserving. They played Oklahoma State very well, but then the only thing that people focus on is the fact that at the end they didn't deserve to win the game. Do you think that affected the line at all?
I don't think so, because the numbers I had seen offshore when I was looking at UNLV before had this at 13 too. So this is the rare game. It stayed exactly the same. I think maybe UNLV looking a little bit better than maybe everyone expected, and Central Michigan also looking better, just kind of cancel each other out. I will say, though, I watched a lot of that game, and Central Michigan I was pretty impressed with. I mean, I'd say they outplayed Oklahoma State even before the last play. Like you said, I mean, that's what everyone's going to focus on. And I think that their quarterback's awfully good. Cooper Rush was very impressed with him. So, I don't know. To me, this is a tough trip for UNLV. I know Brewer's all fired up and probably going to pick them outright, but I'm kind of tempering my expectations for this one. It's tough coming off that game with UCLA where they fought so hard, obviously played extremely hard. Now you have to travel three time zones over or whatever. I don't see it being a great spot for UNLV.
UNLV 0-10 all time in the Eastern time zone. Cooper Rush's first collegiate start was actually the UNLV game in 2013 that we all remember for the amazing turnaround. That was Caleb Herring deep bomb to Devontae Davis at the end of the first half. Everyone has to delete their Bobby Hauk obituary columns, and they suddenly go on a run to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. So he's still the quarterback there. I guess, what were your guys' concerns coming out of the UCLA game? Well, here first, because I feel like with the facility and it being a couple of days, we haven't even talked about this targeting penalty. Anyone have a problem with it? Watching it live, I didn't think it was legit. Once I saw enough replay, saw it close, by the letter of the law, it was. There was helmet-to-helmet contact. And, you know, it's unfortunate for UNLV. It was a big play, 3rd and 10. They could have forced a punt. Instead, UCLA comes down and scores and then piles it on at the end. I mean, I guess, what did you guys think of that at the moment?
Well, another thing, a guy I bring up every podcast, so I don't know why this keeps happening, but it was just the way I comprehended it. At about the same time, there's a huge targeting call in the BYU game. Kai Nakua got ejected. Can't play the first half. But anyway, it was not targeting at all.
Here for Kai Nakua is something like that.
But it was the worst call ever, not even close to targeting, not textbook or whatever. So I was still kind of fuming, like, this is a ridiculous call. And then when you see UNLV's, I was like, you know, it's close. It's unfortunate this happened. But I didn't think it was super controversial. I mean, that's just it's kind of where we're at in college football, and for good reason. So, you know, I can understand that UNLV feeling like, you know, really deflated after that because that was such a huge play. But at the end of the day, it probably was targeting.
Here's the deal. What did I initially think when I saw it? Well, Nicholas had a game, Pirates, we won. So I was listening to the radio, and I'm sorry, bro. I was going to text you. Do you know who had that sack in the fourth quarter? It was a big sack.
It was in the third. You're talking about UNLV?
Yeah.
It was in the third quarter. It was the Keith Walls.
Golly, man. They didn't say who had the sack. And I wanted to know, because I wanted to, that was like the first thing I listened to. So I heard the overreaction on the radio call. And then so my mind was kind of made up when I got to see it. And the thing that, because I didn't play football, like, if you're just trying to jar the ball loose, and I don't think there was any, you know, malintent.
No, there was no intent. He led with his shoulder, but his helmet, crown of the helmet, hit the face mask.
Yeah, so letter of the law, you're right. Now, how does a referee see that live and is able to make the call? I just think because it looks so bad.
Not only a referee, three of them, and you're right. It was because of the complete snap of the neck. Like, it looked like a really bad hit. On review, it was a correct call, you know, by letter of the law targeting, but it wasn't that bad of a hit. Kenny Keyes did launch himself, but went shoulder first, made contact first with the receiver's shoulder. But, you know, there's nothing else you can do. If you hit the helmet, they can flag you for it.
I would have loved to see UNLV get the ball down seven with a chance to tie in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think that would have been the drive to give us a good indication of where this program's come. Johnny Stanton wasn't great. Wasn't necessarily awful. I thought they should have tried a little more to get Devontae Boyd the ball. UCLA did a great job of covering him. I thought UNLV kind of got down so big that they couldn't rely on the run, which is, you know, it's bread and butter. They're going to need to get yards on the ground to beat anybody.
Absolutely.
And they were just forced to throw, and Stanton's not at the point right now where he's going to be able to carry you to a victory. So for them to actually get back into the game.
Yeah.
Rosen threw for 300 and some yards, but he had like 22 incompletions, I think. And that's why if we look ahead to the Central Michigan game, okay, the quarterback from there is really good, right? Connor, whatever.
Cooper Rush. Close.
Better. Yeah. He's really good. Their passing game is rated in the top 20 nationally, right?
I mean, maybe if you go by total yards, but it's not the best statistic.
It is on ESPN, and that's what I use when I play my play of the day. So,
there are definitely 20 passing offenses in the FBS. I think I would take over Central
Michigan. I get it, but according to that number that I used, they're a top 20 passing team.
Yes.
But UNLV has a hard time, A, rushing the quarterback, and B, stopping the run, right?
Well, tackling, I think, is one of the biggest things.
Okay, but I think their DBs and safeties aren't bad.
They've been in good positions these 2 weeks.
Now, so I like the fact that Central thinks that they're going to be able to take the ball to the air and beat UNLV. As I wrote, and I can't believe we haven't mentioned it 22 minutes into the show, I think they've got this – Central Michigan's got this high of the last second, last play victory at Oklahoma State. Big win for them. Power 5 conference on the road, top 25. That maybe the champagne hasn't dried yet, which I use all the time, and I will continue. And maybe UNLV comes in at a good spot because Sanchez always has these guys ready to play no matter what time zone they're in.
Yeah, don't use that phrase around any Cleveland Cavaliers. They'll make you pay for it. But the counter to that, I think, is that so many people have been parading Oklahoma State should just claim victory. This is complete bull. How did the refs steal this? That I think Central Michigan may be just as motivated to – you know, prove this was not a fluke. And as Case and I were saying earlier, it wasn't a fluke. They should not have been given that down, but up to that point, they were very much in the game.
They had more yards even at that point, with like six minutes left. Yeah.
You know, before I think they had a turnover, they were in line to win the game. So they played really well, but obviously with a finish like that, that's all that's really going to get remembered.
Yeah, punch for punch, they matched Oklahoma State. Now, go ahead.
Well, and since I have to fill my role as the negative one, the other hole I would kind of poke in your theory, and I don't want to go after the kid like this. I think he can be better. Maybe he's got the arm. But if we're not calling Johnny Stanton's performance in that game awful, I don't know what is. The kid was 11 for 28, two picks. I was watching the game super close. UCLA dropped two other interceptions, I'm pretty sure.
Three.
Okay, three total. I saw two. I feel like Central Michigan is going to score, and there's nothing you can do to get away from it. And I'm just worried. I don't know if UNLV can go blow for blow with that right now.
My words, next year there'll be a grad transfer starting for UNLV football.
No redshirt freshman Rogers?
I think they got to give him one more year. I mean, from God, golly, the kid can't figure out the offense. I mean, it's the pace of everything. I think tool-wise, he's the guy. I just think getting the playbook and becoming familiar and getting the reps. And I think year three is the year that Tony's going to want to have a winning record, not just by one game and hit a bowl. Could I ask a dumb question? And I know we got to
always
wrap up here real fast. And at what point do we start talking extension with this man?
Contract. I mean, not until after the season. at the earliest?
If they go,
what's the contract run through right now?
I thought it was four years, $2 million, right?
I couldn't remember whether it was four or five.
I can't either. But if they go, say, 5-7, and he's got this complex built, do you want to give him 2 more years?
I would have no problem with that.
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that. I'm still kind of,
especially if it's 4 years.
Yeah, it'll be the next AD's job, obviously, to do that. But
we don't know that for sure. Contract runs out at the end of December, but until a new AD is hired, I don't think that that's a guarantee.
Well, Tina got the money for this complex.
Tony did.
Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
I mean, she can certainly put it on the resume, take credit for it, and deserve some credit in the position, but I think we're all kidding ourselves, and people around the community would be kidding themselves if they did not give the credit for this happening to Tony Sanchez.
Yeah, like they should name a building after him. Call it the Tony Sanchez.
Well, weren't you calling for a statue last week?
Let's slow down a little bit. Buildings named after the guy, an extension after a 21-point loss. I mean, I love Tony too, but just a little bit, we got to slow it down.
They're,
I mean, this is a little ridiculous.
On the way.
Can we see some more surefire signs before we're putting the guy's statue up on the strip or whatever you want to do?
Here's the problem before I sign off. Here's the problem.
Is he going to be wearing that Las Vegas shirt on the statue?
I will be. I don't know. But I'm just afraid now that some other university like KU or K-State in a better league that is going to need a coach here pretty soon. He's going to say, hey, why don't we take this Sanchez fellow?
Extension or not, they can come in and do that.
I know, but Tony has always told me, and I know I'm a sucker for believing it.
Money talks, sir.
I know, because I'm poor. I get it. There's no loyalty when money's involved, but he was like, you give me this complex, I'm here. I'm going to stay. Which is, I agree. That's a cute girl telling me she loves me and me falling for it. But you're right. Go ahead. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Case. Let's slow down on some of this stuff. But honestly, let's just let the season play out. This could still be, I mean, coming out of the UCLA game, they had their problems with tackling. Stanton, you know, is struggling. And, you know, there's X, Y, and Z as far as issues go. But they also, like we said, were down 7 to UCLA at UCLA going into the fourth quarter. I would have loved to be able to see that drive. But, you know, if we can play it out differently, give UNLV the ball down 7 and just see how it plays out. Overall, it's a positive game. It just is how that builds into the Central Michigan one, we'll have to see. But I think even if this goes sideways on them and it's another like 20 to 30 point loss, I don't think that's necessarily, oh my God, it's going to be another 3-win year, because the league is still very bad. We've got Idaho to wrap up non-con a week after Central Michigan. So let's let this season play out, see how some of the guys progress, see if the team breaks down in the same way that they did last year, like gets tired and everything, or if the depth can actually fill it through and they can finish some games.
Great point. If I had a buzzer to ring to congratulate you, that was the best point, expert point just made there. You're right, they ran out of gas last year.
You know, so let's let it play out. But I think there's tons to be excited about, not only just the close game, close-ish at UCLA, but obviously the facility now, what it can do for an already burgeoning recruiting scene for UNLV. Exciting times, but still a lot of unknown.
Especially, I mean, regardless of what happens in Central Michigan, and I know we went over this a couple weeks ago, but 6 of the next 7 games, they have a very good chance of winning.
Before we go, question for you, not you, because I know your answer.
He's pointing at Case to since they can't see us on here.
Cannon game, who wins? Have you changed your tune in 2 weeks?
I still think it's about a pick'em, so I'm going to go with Reno.
Oh, my God.
Ray is walking out the door. I think we will use that as our sign to shut things down. For Ray, for Case, I am Taylor. We will talk to you guys next week.